His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
That's not going to stop me from going down to the Pentagon and praying for our men and women. I just won't be participating in their formal function.
The idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught.
Religious freedom and pluralism necessarily involve discussing, questioning, and even criticizing each other's religions or beliefs.
We need to hear from the pulpit that Christ saved us completely. He's not there to woo us. He's not there to show us how pretty he is. He's done the saving.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
Well, the headline reads, Catholic Seton Hall U to offer gay marriage course by homosexualist. That's the very first time I've ever heard that term. Homosexualist professor out of Orange County, New Jersey. Seton Hall University, the oldest Catholic diocesan university in the U.S., is offering a same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage course taught by a homosexualist professor. The professor, interestingly enough, is W. King Mott, says the Roman Catholic Church is prima facie homophobic. Is that true? And I wonder what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse thinks about this. It's a good thing we have her on here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show talking to Jennifer about this gay marriage course being taught at Seton Hall University, and then we'll spend the rest of the program talking to Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about three issues. First of all, a recent Supreme Court ruling about the display of a cross to honor veterans at Mojave National Preserve. We'll talk about the Shroud of Turin. The Pope was saying Mass near the thing recently, and an alleged discovery of Noah's Ark, of which Dr. John Warwick Montgomery has some experience. He's been on several expeditions looking for artifacts of the Ark. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Tuesday, May the 4th. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, this Seton Hall professor, W. King Mott, an open homosexual, says that the Roman Catholic Church is homophobic. The Catholic Church considers me to be inherently disordered. I don't know how much more homophobic one can be. Your reaction?
Well, first of all, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, he quite literally doesn't know what he's talking about, because the church very specifically says it's not the person who's disordered, it's the homosexual act that is disordered. And this is a person who's made a decision to identify himself with a certain subset of sexual acts that he likes to perform, and he's identified himself with those so strongly that he can't make the distinction that the church makes is between the act and the person. So that's point one. And the church is very clear that every person is a child of God and worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. But the second way that he doesn't know what he's talking about is that when the church uses the term disorder in that context, they don't mean it the way a psychiatrist might use it. You know, they're not saying this person's a whack job or this person has a mental illness. But when the church says disorder, they mean it in a very specific Aristotelian philosophical sense, which is to say that a homosexual act is intrinsically disordered because it's not an act that is ordered towards its proper end. Okay, and so it can't be made to be ordered toward its proper end because the proper end of a sexual act is spousal unity and procreation, which both of which come about through creating the one flesh union of heterosexual intercourse. And so therefore, the same-sex sexual act is whatever the act might be, those are intrinsically disordered acts. That's what the church is talking about, and that's what this poor fellow who's a professor at Seton Hall doesn't seem to understand.
Contra Professor Mott, again, a quote, "The notion that marriage is a stable and ancient human arrangement derived from divine revelation, limited to that existing between one man and one woman, and binding, save through the permission of a single church, is contrived. It is laughable to consider that human relationships could ever find satisfaction and expression in this single interpretation of marriage." Your answer?
Well, you know, again, first of all, this massive run-on sentence that he's had, somebody should give him some periods for Christmas so he can have the shorter sentences and come to the point once in a while. But basically what he's saying is he doesn't like this. That's all he has to say is, I don't like the church's definition, yeah, yeah. So I don't know why it's laughable. He just asserts it's laughable, and I guess we're all supposed to laugh now. And we are laughing, but not at the church's definition of marriage. We're laughing at him, poor guy. Anyway, I'm not sure what we're supposed to take out of that. Of that whole complex, long sentence that he put out there, I don't know what part he thinks is laughable. I mean, the fact is that the arrangement of a man and a woman together in matrimony is something that has served the human race very well for long periods of time. And if he's laughing, I think the joke's on him.
So let's talk about the fact that all this is happening at the oldest diocesan university in the U.S., Seton Hall.
Yes, that's very interesting to me. When I saw that story, my ears kind of perked up for two reasons. First of all, the reason it made news is not because this guy is teaching the class. The reason it made news is because his archbishop, who has responsibility for that school, Archbishop John Myers, basically said, you know, we can't do this. I'm responsible for this school. I'm on the board of trustees of this school. I am the shepherd of the Roman Catholic all of the Roman Catholic institutions within the Diocese of Newark, and I'm very troubled by this, and we need to do something about it. And so they're discussing what they're going to do about it. Now, I don't know that he could shut the thing down unilaterally, but he has put some pressure on the board to at the very least look into it. And so I don't know what the final outcome of it is going to be. Last I saw that they were looking at it, and the faculty was not, I don't know if that's the faculty, but the relevant committee within the university, whoever that authority might be, they were saying, well, look, this is just a special topics class, and special topics classes don't have to go through the usual procedure of being approved and so on. So he's allowed to offer this up to three times before it enters the catalog as a permanent class, and then presumably other things would kick in. But the only reason this made news is because the archbishop said something about it. And I'm glad the archbishop said something about it. And I would really urge people to, send a note to Archbishop Myers and thank him for sticking up for the truth. You know, whether you're a Catholic or not a Catholic, a guy putting his neck out on the line like this needs our support, because you can be sure that the political establishment and a lot of other people are going to be giving him a hard time about it. So I would really urge people to send expressions of support to Archbishop Myers there in Newark.
I'm wondering perhaps you can't discern any better than I can, what a gay marriage course would consist of by way of at least the contents of its syllabus.
Do you know what? I can't imagine that it would be anything but a propaganda class. And I actually have kind of a funny story about Seton Hall. I visited Seton Hall a little over a year ago, February of 2009, I think it was. Maybe it was a little bit later than that. Yeah, I think it was probably a little later in the spring. I was the last event for the Federalist Society, which is the law school, the conservative law school organization. I'm an approved speaker for the Federalist Society, so I go and do lectures all the time for Federalist Society chapters. Well, at Seton Hall, the Federalist Society students and their left-wing equivalent want always traditionally end the year with a debate, and the kid from the other side, the kid from, I forget what the club is called, the kid from the left-wing law club wanted to do it on same-sex marriage because he himself was gay, and so he thought it would be a good idea to have a debate. So they signed me up, and I said, sure, I'll come and do it. And then they went and tried to get somebody to debate me. And I don't know who they went for. I don't, I wasn't told all of this, but I know that the first two people that they went for to be my debate opponent, they looked at my website and then declined to participate. Now, I don't know what they said in their email. I don't know what excuse they made, but you just draw your own conclusion about why they declined to participate in a debate against me. So the person they finally got, and I don't know how long this went on or how long this took, but I didn't know who my debate opponent was going to be until I got there. And the person that they got was completely ill-informed about same-sex marriage. He didn't know anything. He was from a completely different area of law. And he spent his time telling me that I was a bigot and that I was the equivalent of a racist. I listed three serious objections and three serious problems that would arise from same-sex marriage. He did not even do the courtesy of responding to those objections. He just spent his time calling me a bigot. And it was amazing. I mean, I would have to say the low point in my experience of debating same-sex marriage. And you know, I thought, well, you know, plainly I've won this debate because the guy doesn't have any arguments. There's nothing there. There's
about 20 seconds here.
So I would just say, if there is anybody listening who knows a student at Seton Hall, I would tell them, go take this guy's class and keep an eye on him. And if they need somebody to present an honest and thoughtful refutation of same-sex marriage to present the arguments against, just give me a call. I'll be glad to go out there and talk with Professor Mott.
Folks, stay informed on social, moral, and cultural issues by checking out the website for the Ruth Institute. Just go to Ours First, click Listen on Demand, and look for Jennifer Roback Morris on the Ruth Institute, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. We'll start talking about the Supreme Court decision about that cross that has stood for decades in the Mojave National Preserve. The Supreme Court says it can stay. We'll find out what Dr. Montgomery thinks about that after this. The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, is a devotional resource called Stark's Prayer Book. You'll find prayers for patience, strength, sickness, thanksgiving, dying, and more in Stark's Prayer Book. This devotional resource costs $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Stark's Prayer Book.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.